Praise God. Great to see Sister Jenny Claypool, right? Did I did it right? Yeah, it's been a long time. Your daughter and aunt with you tonight, amen. From the great state of West Virginia. Awesome. Glad you're here tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 14. Verse 10. It's been a few weeks since Brother Hurt has been with us, but if he spoke anything into your life, if he spoke over you and prophesied over you, I urge you to go back. I urge all of you to go back and look those messages up and listen to them over and over. Get that in your spirit. Amen. Obey the man of God. Let him touch. Let the word of God that he's spoken you come alive. Amen. God wants to do something powerful in your life. Amen. Just walk in faith and believe God for it. Amen. Don't let it just, that was all, that was yesterday. No. Amen. God wants to do it. Amen. I'm believing God for what he spoke to this church. Amen. For the vision, for the plan. And God's going to give us buildings to facilitate the plan. Amen. It's going to happen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Proverbs 14:10. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. I'm going to talk tonight alone. Just alone. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask you to just minister and bless and touch in this house, Lord. We're thankful for the word of God, your word that is forever settled in heaven, God. We can count on your word, God, and we can trust in it, Lord God. We can just believe and know that your word will do what it says it will do. We ask you to just minister in this place tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. James tells us how to face trials. The apostles were well versed in trials. James 1. Verse 2 and 3, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. How many has ever had your faith tested? Amen. If he's not testing you, you're probably not where you need to be with God. Amen. Amen. Your faith, amen. You've got to have faith, but your trials will strengthen you. Amen. No, we don't like going through them. I don't like going through trials. Amen. It seems like I go through a lot of them. Amen. But God's doing something. And I just got a thick skull most of the time and can't figure out what he's doing. But he's doing something and trying to change me. He's trying to make me a better person. And usually he end up accomplishing what he sets out to do. Amen. He is a wise creator. He understands and knows you. Amen. So in all honesty, that's a pretty big expectation. In fact, we cannot be too critical of someone who struggles to fulfill this verse that we just read in James. There are many times we we would like to rescue an individual, that we cannot help him because each heart must come to know his own bitterness. People need to go through things. But we can rest assured no one else can share its joy either. Amen. So many times we want to help. We want to get in there and we want to just, oh, my brother's struggling. We want to just help him. And sometimes God's saying, I'm taking care of business. I'm doing a work in this person. Let me handle it. Let me work on their spirit. Let me work on their heart for a little while. Romans 8 says, for I am convinced that neither death, pay attention to this verse, this is important, nor life, neither angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Right. Nothing you are facing in your life ought to keep you from God's presence. Amen. 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 We have to realize God is God in the midst of the storms. Amen. He is God no matter what happens in life. Amen. He changes not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God will come through. Just believe and have faith and walk in the power of the Holy Ghost that He's given you. He's given you His Spirit to help you walk through the trial. To help you walk through the test. He's given you the tools, the ability to go through the storms of life, amen, because He's trying to purify your soul, your mind. So most of us sometimes are alone among friends. The name Job has become a synonymous with suffering. We know him as one that really went through a whole bad, tragic life. Amen. He had lost everything. Family, crops, animals, all everything. With losses that include health, his assets. I mean, some of us, we lose just a few things. Our car breaks down, and the end of the world is at hand. And all you got to do is pump the tire up or get a flat fixed. But it's a tragic thing in our lives, and God is trying to help us tonight to understand trials are going to come. Amen. You may be in one right now. Just understand God's in control. Amen. Nothing's too hard for God. So as a result, in the end, no one else could really share Job's joy. Amen. He was alone in his trial. But he was able to experience the joy in the end that no one else could because no one else was with him. Sometimes our friends don't understand what we're doing, what we're going through. Job was tested by pain both emotionally and physically. He was boils. Have you ever had one? I've had MRSA staph, that's about as close to a boil as you'll get. And it's not fun. But this man was covered in boils and still would not turn his back on God. Job 2:7, it says, "So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head." My, my. Painful. 7:5. Job 7:5. "My body is clothed with worms and scabs. My skin is broken and festered." Ooh. That's horrifying. He was taunted by his own wife. In Job 2:9, his wife said to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die already." What a woman. Job's own friends misunderstood him. In Job 19:19, it says, "All my intimate friends detest me. Those I love have turned against me." Man, Job was really going through it. Amen. Job was alone, all by himself in his trial. He was alone. He was by himself. No one in his life cared for Job. They became a nihilist, trying to figure out what caused the calamity. These friends of his, trying to figure it out. "What did you do, Job?" You know, that's the first thing everybody thinks when you're in a trial, that you've sinned against God. Man, you got to get it right, my friend. You got to live for God. God was proud of Job. So much so that he said, "Hey, Lucifer, you want to try him out? Go ahead." And he turned him loose because he knew and he understood the relationship that Job had. Wasn't nothing going to come between him and his God. Right. Are you sold out to God? What if tragedy strikes your home tomorrow? Are you going to blame God? Are you going to throw your hands in the air and say, "God, I've been serving you for this many years, and look what you did"? Job endured affliction. His losses included 11,500 heads of livestock, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yokes of oxen, at least 1,000 oxen, and 500 donkeys. Gone. Additionally, he lost his children, his household, his servants. But he understood the one asset that he owned, that he had in his life, was his God. He understood the sword, the fire, the wind, and the disease could not touch his integrity with God. No matter what, he was sold out that his God would always be there for him, because there was something in the relationship that they had together. Amen. That's what it takes, my friend. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you can go through anything. With God, nothing is impossible. Amen. Without God, I don't even want to know. Amen. You need God tonight. His name is Jesus. Amen. He doesn't want you to go it alone. Amen. God loves you, and God wants to go through life with you. Job 27:6. I will maintain my innocence and never let go of it. My conscience will not reproach me as long as I live. He was dedicated to God, to what God had planned for Job. He was sold out to living a life as a servant of the Most High. Job's losses were a result of what most people would call bad luck. If you believe in luck. However, it was not bad luck, nor it, or was it even mere chance. God allowed Satan to strike Job and prove his faithfulness. It was a test. It was a test of Job, and to show Satan he was wrong in his appraisal of Job. Satan thought Job would just bow down and worship him. You know, but God was out to prove that this man loved God. And Job and this man had a relationship that no one could come between. Nothing could come between that. Amen. How's your relationship with God tonight? Amen. What can separate us? Is it just a little, someone didn't shake your hand when you came into service? Someone looked at you cross-eyed. Someone talked at you this way or that way. Come on, we've got to have a relationship with God tonight. Amen? Because you may find yourself tomorrow in a trial alone. No one else to go through it with you. No one else to hold your hand. No one else to understand why you're going through what you're going through. Amen? You can rest assured God knows. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're facing. He knows the end of the trial. Hold on to God. Hold on to His unchanging hand. God sees you in your struggle. Amen? You are not alone. You are not alone. I love that song that's out there. It's, you're not alone. Not alone in your trial. Not alone in your battle. Amen? We are not alone, my friend. We have a God that cares about you. Amen? He loves you. He cares tremendous amount for you. Job responded in four ways. He tore his mantle, and he shaved his head, and he fell on the ground, and he worshiped God. He had the joy that no one else could give him. Although he was taken to the very bottom of his life, Job came out on top. And this seems to most like a big long fairy tale. Yeah, right, Brother Roberts. All these people died and he lost everything. I mean, just... My friend, God can help you in the worst day of your life. If you will trust him, if you will let his spirit that dwells on each and every one of us be the joy of our salvation. Amen. God wants to help you walk through your darkest hour. Amen. He'll give you light in the darkness. Job 42:10 says, after Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. Through his great trial and testing, God made Job complete and blessed him beyond measure. Only when the suffering is over do we realize the value of what happened in our lives. When the Bible says that the Lord blessed Job's latter end more than his beginning, it is not just referring to the number of livestock, the cattle, all those things. God had taken Job through an experience that left him stronger, wiser, and more spiritual than he ever was. We can be alone also with grief. David went down in history as a man after God's own heart. He was a man that when he realized that he had sinned against God, when the prophet preached to him and told him the parable, he saw the error of his ways, he saw the depravity of his sin in his life, and he did not take his kingly position and smite the prophet and say, how dare you come against the Most High in this kingdom? But he fell to his knees and began to beg God for forgiveness because he saw the error of his ways and he changed his life. It wasn't just tears. It wasn't just, oh, I'm so sorry for what I've done and I'm just going to cry right now and just go back to the way I was. No, he was a man that changed his life, amen, and he changed the kingdom the way he did business so that he could draw closer to God. He had a heart to serve God. And what's interesting that before David was the man God wanted him to be, God saw him as the man after God's own heart. This is 1 Samuel 13:14. It says, But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people. Because you have not kept the Lord's command. This is talking about Saul. Saul let pride rise up in his life. And he walked around prideful. And would not hear the word of the Lord. And would not bow to the things of God. And God removed him out of his kingdom. I wonder what God saw in us when he called us. What did God see in you? What's he see in your future that that he went to and paid the price that he did because he believed in you. I wonder tonight, are we living up to his expectations? Are we living up to what God's seen in you? When there's no one to turn to, 1 Samuel 30, 3 through 6, it says, when David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. And David's two wives had been captured, and Ahinoam the Jezreel and Abigail the widow are Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters, but David found strength in the Lord his God. When we're going through it, folks, we've gotta trust in the Lord. Amen. So many times we lean on our own understanding and we don't acknowledge God. We don't turn to God in those fearful moments, in those times when it seems like everyone else is not for you. David turned toward God and trusted in the Lord. So, David's army at this time were not most reputable men. These men were scoundrels. In 1 Samuel 22, 2, it says, all those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their commander. About 400 men were with him. Kind of sounds like us before we knew the Lord. We were broken, in debt, strung out. You know, all sorts of things. David was a valiant leader. But he had reason to be concerned when they talked of stoning him. He knew the reputation of these men. And he knew they could do it. But he did not retaliate. David had sense of why his men wanted to stone him. And it appears he had an understanding of the human behavior. 1 Samuel 36. It says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the souls of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, in his God. How do you react when you are hurting and others attack you because they are hurting also? Hurting people hurt people. That's a good thing to put in your mind. If somebody's hurting you, they're hurting. Amen. Hurting people hurt people. David chose not to tear after these men and retaliate against them. He understood. If he could learn this lesson, it would eliminate a lot of arguments. I'm sorry, if we could learn this lesson, we could bless a lot of marriages. So many times we want to retaliate in the battle. David was a man after God's own heart. He encouraged himself. Instead of retaliating, David chose another option. Wonder if there's an option for you tonight. That's not the one you've been thinking of all week. And God is here tonight to help you. Matthew 5:44 says, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Pray for those that are cussing at you. Pray for those that are talking bad about you. Pray for those that are doing all sorts of evil against you. I'm not up here talking out of my head. I live this life. When somebody comes against me, I begin to pray for them. And I begin to talk to God about it. And I've seen God turn situations around. Wasn't easy. Wasn't fun. But when I get a picture where God is trying to take the situation and he's trying to turn the thing around, oh, the presence of God that you feel, the power of God that you feel, amen, knowing that God has been there all the time. You weren't alone. He was right there in the midst of the battle. Amen. He was working it all out while you were thinking all sorts of things. God had it figured out. All we had to do was trust him. All we had to do was just believe and know that God would work it out. Amen. Trust the Lord. God's going to work your situation out, Sister Kathy. God's going to work it out. Just have faith and believe God. He's going to walk. He's going to do what he said he would do. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." He said, "You've been faithful in the little things. I will bless you." God is going to work on your behalf. Amen. He is going to make a way where there seems to be no way. Amen. David's option was simply, it was very simple, but it was the most difficult. 1 Samuel 30:6. "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people, they grieved every man for his sons and his daughters, and David encouraged himself in the Lord." We have to encourage ourselves. Amen. We have a God that has fought some battles for you. Amen. You've overcome some things in your life. Amen. Those are some things that we can get hold of in our hearts and minds and rehearse those things in our lives and say, "He did it before, he'll do it again." Amen. We've got scripture that we can flip through the pages and say, amen, he took them through the Red Sea and he brought them out of Egypt. Amen. And he fed them along the way. Amen. He dropped manna out of the sky. If he did it for them, he'll do it for you. You can encourage yourself tonight and say, I know God will see me through. God will. Just encourage yourself tonight. 1 Samuel 30, 7 and 8. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And the Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. David demonstrated leadership in the most difficult time of his life. With God, all things are possible. Amen? If you don't have God in your life tonight, you're a mess. Amen? And you need to turn to God. So in conclusion tonight, the shaping of a disciple. When God wants to drill a man and thrill a man and skill a man, when God wants to mold a man to play for him the noblest part, when he yearns with all his heart to build so great a bold a man that all the world shall be amazed, then watch God's method. Watch his ways. Who he ruthlessly perfects. Whom he royally elects. How he hammers him and hurts him. And with mighty blows and converts him. Making shapes and forms which only God himself can understand, even while his man is crying, lifting and beseeching hand. Yet God bends but never breaks. When man's good, he undertakes. When he used whom he chooses and to act to man, as it was when he began. When God tries his splendor out, man will know what he's about. It is well with my soul. Amen. I'm going to live for God. Through the trial, through the test, and when I'm alone. Amen. Have faith in God tonight. God will see you through your trial. He will see you through your test. Amen. He will make a way when there is no way. Praise God. Let's stand tonight. You're not alone tonight. You have the greatest thing that ever was residing on the inside of you. And if you could understand and get a glimpse of what God sees you as, you can walk out of here a changed person. Do you really got an understanding of what God has thought of you? What he sees you as? Your future. Amen? You're not alone. trust the Lord. Lord, we thank you for your people tonight, God.